because you're here, and all things are possible now that you're here.
We open our Bibles this evening to Ephesians chapter 3. And taking for our text verse 19 through 21, Ephesians 3, 19 through 21. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have recognized, Lord, that your word or your energy worketh in us, and it is to bring us to the place of glory, which we know that word is the word doxa. It means the opinion, the values, the judgment that are yours, that they might be also reflecting in your church. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us, Lord, to know our place in this hour, know our position as sons. For we recognize, Father, that the message is all about the coming together of sons, the positioning of sons, getting ready for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. The shout is a precursor of the voice. The shout was to come as it represents the appearing, which comes before the coming, the shout before the voice. The gathering of the bride together, coming into her position in Christ. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us to be in that place where we ought to be when you come, or actually when you take us out of here to meet your Son in the air, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated. Now this evening I'd like to speak on the God energizing his body. And we read here in Ephesians where Paul talks about unto him who? Well, he's talking about God. We know God is love. Unto him be glory in the church. So unto God who is love, may he express it through his opinion, his values, and his judgments in the church. And so from Jehovah Jireh, Brother Bram said, now the vine doesn't bear fruit, does it? Who was he talking to? He's talking to the church. He said, I'm the vine, and you're the branches. And the branch is energized by the life of the vine. Therefore, Jesus has no lips tonight on earth, but mine and yours. Well, Brother Bram's gone. So he has no lips tonight, but your lips. He has no eyes, but mine and yours. But Brother Branham is gone. He has no eyes left here, but your eyes. He has no hands, but mine and yours. And Brother Branham is gone. Therefore, he has no hands right now, except for your hands. He energizes us, and we bring forth his life as he brings it through us. So if the world is going to see Jesus Christ manifest in this hour, after the prophet has already gone, he's going to see it through you. Or they're not going to see it at all. Whether it's preaching the gospel by lip, or it's seeing visions by eye, whether it's whatever it is, laying hands on the sick, whatever it is Christ working through the branches of his church, every office literally electrified by his presence. Philippians 2 and verse 13 we read, for it is God which worketh or energizes in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Having lunch yesterday with Brother Vail, he asked a question. He said, Brian, I have a question I'd just like to ask you. He said, do you think, Brother Bram said the bride hasn't seen her revival yet. He said, what do you think that revival is? And I said, Brother Vail, I don't know, but if we take Brother Bram's definition of a revival, he talked about Lake Michigan, and after the storm, all the refuse, all the crud that was in the storm is washed up onto the shore. That's a revival. It's a reviving. And I believe what's happening right now around the world is the bride is getting revived. They're getting serious. They're not socializing. It's not a social gospel to them. It's a reality. It's a getting ready for a resurrection. Getting ready for going home. It could be this spring, brothers. And if it is, you've got to be ready by this spring, because he that's filthy will be filthy still. And he that's righteous will be righteous still. Now, when that woman was sitting at that table, she was checking names. If your name isn't on the book, you're not going to be there. And the only way you know your name's going to be on the book is if there's something in here, like Brother Nick, when he sang the song, he said, my desire is to do right. That's what God's looking at. He's not looking at whether you do right or not. When you have a little child that's growing, your desire is he trying to walk? Is he trying to crawl? Is he trying to walk? Not is he, can he, or does he? But is he trying? God looks at your efforts, not your abilities. You see, he looks upon the heart. From Philippians 2 and verse 13, we read, for it is God which worketh or energizes in you both to will, I like that, and to do his good pleasure. I hear too much talk, not from you, but from others who have been sitting under the teaching for 20 some years. And they wonder if the efforts of going around and doing what we're doing is doing any good. And my only question is, come with me. Come with me, because when you find these people are living a life more exemplary, they have more of a fervor for the doctrine than these people have been sitting around for 20 years. Now remember, the people that were the 11th hour people got the same wages as the people that had worked all day long. And the people that got their one talent and buried it in the ground got nothing. And the people who had given ten talents and invested it, they were given 100% return. And they received the talent of the people that buried theirs. I hope we're not burying our talent. I hope we're not burying the word that God has given us. I hope we're not hiding the light under a basket. You see, because when the things that are revealed, the things that are hidden belong unto the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong unto us. This message was not Brother Branham's message until God revealed it to him. Then it became his message. And when he spoke it and it was revealed to you, it's become your message. It's on your hands. What are you doing about it? I'm not talking works, because a lamb doesn't have to produce. It just happens. The wool just takes place. You can't help yourself, but you've got to talk about this great light, this great life that God has given you, if it's truly there. You can't hold your peace. From Fundamental Foundation of Faith, Brother Ram said, many of you ministers here, you wouldn't want to say that you just spit out a sermon and stood and popped it off. You'd want to say that it come from inspiration. I believe it, certainly. Well, it has to come from the Holy Ghost that energizes you to speak that message. If it isn't, you'll never be successful. This is Charles Finney and so forth, a man who's copied their sermons out. And when they got up there and they preached with the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, the same sermon he preached that the night before, hundreds brought to the altar. See, there's such a difference. It's got to be by inspiration. The Holy Spirit's got to unctionize in that thing. So is it with healing. There's got to be something take place through a divine gift that'll energize the people with the Holy Spirit to believe. Are we energized? Are we excited about what God is doing? Or is it just kind of church? 1 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh, effectually energizes also in you that believe. So the word which was energized in us to speak it, when you received it, you received that same energy. And it began to work itself in you, in your mortal body. From belief from the heart, Brother Branham said, and now watch, I've seen it work. And to think that you'll get into that contact with God, it becomes till it isn't your voice anymore. It's not your thoughts anymore. It becomes God's thoughts and God's voice. You're just a vine or just a branch. He's the vine. And if his spirit that goes in and energizes, as long as you can get yourself out of the way, he will fill it up. And then you can be a witness, just like Noah's ark was a witness, just like Jesus was a witness of God. He becomes so full of God till him and God was one. God dwelt in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, the very expression. Never ceases to amaze me. I go overseas to these places. I bring my notes along that I preach sermons here to you. But I never once look down at those sermons. I don't even open the book. I pick up my Bible and begin to read from the Ephesians, the first chapter, or from Galatians, the fourth chapter, or from Romans, the eighth chapter. And the Holy Spirit begins to anoint, and the Word begins to flow back and forth, and going over from Revelation to Genesis, and taking the people and showing them the day and the hour, showing them their position in Christ as sons and daughters of God. 4 hours straight, 4.5 hours straight, without notes, don't need the notes. The Holy Spirit just ministering through these lips. Because Brother Branham said, he uses my lips and he uses your lips. Brother Branham's gone. He's got to be using somebody's lips. You have children. Brother Branham said, you are their pastor. You see? You mothers are your pastor to your little children. Live the life and show them the life. Apply that token. Keep it for all eternity. I believe in applying the token isn't just talking about it. I believe the applying of the token is actually living the token, expressing the token, putting skin on it. From James chapter 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him, put under the blood. Forgotten in the sea of forgetfulness. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. The effectual, energizing, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't pray enough. We don't pray enough because we don't believe God's hearing our prayers. But let me tell you something. God is hearing our prayers. Before I went down to Mexico, Brother Vail was praying. I didn't know it. He's praying that I just wouldn't go down and teach, but that I'd really preach to those people. And that's what happened. I also prayed because there's a situation where I felt that Brother Vail need to be involved with. And I was so angry when I heard about what had taken place in a certain place that I wanted to get involved in something. When I began to pray, something said, no, that's his responsibility. You pray that he'll take it over. And he has. And Brother Vail has gotten involved. You see, all you have to do is pray. I told this to Michael 12 years ago. When something would come up, he'd call. I'd say, Michael, let's pray about it. You see, if you truly believe that you're a son of God, and you truly believe that you're walking in the light, as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is covering you from all your sin, then when you go to pray, Jesus said, ask what you will, and it'll be given. Brother Bram said that Sister Hattie Wright could have asked for $1 million. It would have been there. She could have asked for healing for her sister. It would have been there. But she asked for the souls of her boys, and God gave them to her. Ask what you will, and it'll be given. From Arrow of God's Deliverance, Brother Ramsey, why the reason Moses failed in the first place. Now, here's what's the matter. It was the lack of having what the burning bush had. That's right. And what's our failure today is lack of having what the Holy Spirit has. And the Holy Spirit has all good things for us. And if we receive the Holy Spirit, then all things are possible. And not only possible, but promised to us. Jesus said, ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will and it'll be given to you. You see, when we step into the light of God's word, with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine the light on it. Brother, the impossible becomes little things then. God asks us to believe His Word. He sends the Holy Spirit to energize that Word when He falls into it. When the Word's being preached and the Holy Spirit brings the Word, He energizes that and flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. God said, I have remembered my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm sending you down there to do it. See? Then when God's Word, His promise, becomes enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord, stop Moses now. He's on his road. And God always keeps His promise. From Fundamental Foundation of Faith, Brother Branham said, what did Christ redeem for us? Or redeem us for? Did you ever think what He redeemed us for? He did. Why didn't He just make you the atonement and say, now, there's no need of giving them deep powers. There's no need of making this man a son of God. There's no need in doing that. I will just ask him to believe it and write his name in the book of heaven, and that'll settle it. But He gave us these redeemed blessings that we might operate the works of God by the energy of the Holy Spirit. You see, God likes to see His own energy in operation. We've talked about faith. We've talked about how you have the same electricity going through the light, through the chandelier here. You have the same electricity going through the lights over here, through this microphone here. You have the same electricity coming into the computer. You have the same electricity running the fans for the church, the air conditioning, the heater. But each one performs a different function. But it's the same electricity or the same energy making all things comfortable or all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and He called according to His purpose. You see, it's the vessel that's different. You're different from your daughter. And yet the same energy of God can work through you both. You're different from your son. Yet the same energy of God can work through you both. You see? And it can work to where all things are working together for the good of the family and the good of the brethren. It's a matter of, can you flip the switch? If you can't, there is one here who can turn on the light. You see? So just let go and let God. Let God begin to move through each. Receive whatever it is that each one in the family of God has. Everyone has a job. I was raised in a big family, and my duty was to take out the garbage, mine and John's. Didn't seem like it was very thrilling duty. You know, that's your duty. Catherine's and Amy's job was to do the dishes, do the silverware and the dishes. And the boys would clean the floors. The other boys cleaned the floors. We all had something to do. And in the kingdom of God, everyone has a position. Everyone in the body of Christ has something to offer. Some it may be prayer. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the prayers of the brothers and sisters around the world, I wouldn't be able to travel these places. I wouldn't have the energy. The devil is battling me just as hard as he can. If it's not my lungs, it's somewhere else in my body. Trying to crash planes and everything else. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth a whole lot in the kingdom of God. And it brings us all together. It ties us as one body, one unit, working together for the glory of God's grace and His mercy. From Fundamental Foundations of Faith, Brother Anderson, what did Christ... we read that. Let me continue. But He gave us these redeemed blessings that we might operate the work of God by the energy of the Holy Spirit. In St. John 5, He said, I am the vine, but you are the branches. Do you know that the vine can't bear fruit? Although the fruit is in the vine. But the fruit cannot be brought forth from the vine. It has to have the branches to bear the fruit. And you are the branches. Now the vine with all the energy cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. You've got to be willing to receive what God has for you to give back to the church, to His people, His elect. You've got to be willing to take and step into it. Brother Branham said God was waiting on Jesus to make up his mind in the Garden of Gethsemane, whether he was going to go through with it. And Jesus had to recognize his position as the firstborn son. And as the firstborn son, he received 50% of the inheritance. He already received it. He was already transfigured. He already had his. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't go for himself. But he recognized that God had called him. He said, for this purpose have I come into the world. And he recognized that God had called him before the foundation of the world. When God predestinated you to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, he also predestinated his son to be the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. Had Jesus not stepped forward, look, you have a father that can't die. The law of inheritance says when the firstborn receives his, he gets 50% of all that's the father's kingdom. And then all the other children, they get the other 50% when daddy dies. But daddy can't die. Jesus already had his. He was assured of his inheritance. But he stepped forth. And when he put his foot into action, God was able to put skin on it. And he became that lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. He manifested it for us. And Paul says we are joint heirs with Christ. He shared his inheritance with us. For it takes the death of the testator to bring forth the testimony into effect. And by stepping forth, he showed no greater love can a man have than he lay down his life for his brothers. Hallelujah. The vine with all of its energy cannot produce anything unless the branch is willing to receive the energy. Are we willing to receive the energy of God? To put these bodies into action. These vessels. We're two-thirds spirit. Spirit, soul. One-third is visible. Two-thirds invisible. But the actions of the visible reflects what the desires of the invisible. Ephesians 1:19, and that, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working, to the energizing of his mighty power. Ephesians 3:7, wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And had, look, Paul could have called himself an apostle all day long. It wouldn't have done any good. He said, I'm an apostle, not a man. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't by Paul's effectual working. It was the effectual working of the Holy Spirit in Paul. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, the energizing in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. No greater gift than to give ourselves for our brother. No greater thing that you can do. Sarah, you bake those pies and make them good. That's right. Because you're not doing it for Sarah. You're doing it for Jesus Christ and the least of these, his children. That's your gift. Find your gift. Find your calling. Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Notice, according to the working, according to the energy, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. God energizing to bring all things under the feet of Christ. From the inner man, Brother Ram said, I was just thinking, we are God's fruit bearers. And I believe in St. John the 17th, Jesus said, ye are the branches. And he was the vine. Now, the vine puts forth the fruit. But the branches has to bear the fruit. So if the branch is getting its life out of the vine, well, it's the same kind of life that's in the vine. Don't you think so? It has to be. Now our hands and our lips and our eyes, them is God's hands, lips and eyes that we have here. That he has on earth. Now he's gone back to God and he sends forth his energy of his Spirit to anoint us with the Holy Spirit. And then if we are submissive to him, and then our hands represent his hands. That's the reason he said, they shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. When we lay hands on the sick, it's not you just, well, I'm just doing what God told me to do. No, it's God's hands being laid on that person so that God's energy can flow through the vessel, the conduit, you. And it doesn't have to be a preacher. It doesn't have to be an adult. When Christina was 3 years old, she had 103 temperature one night. Brother Vail was sick. He was down in Tucson. He asked me to take services while he was gone. I went upstairs, took her temperature. LaVon did. 103 degrees. I said, LaVon, in a half hour, I've got to go. So if she's not better, just we'll leave the family home. And I was going up there. I was taking communion service on Saturday night, taking Sunday service in the morning. We did this for 7 months. And then I went down and we did our church. Our church, you remember, Steve, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon over in Anderson. 15 minutes later, Elizabeth comes down. She goes, well, we're ready to go. She's healed. I said, how do you know? She's 4 years old. She said, because I laid hands on her and I prayed. Jesus said, unless you have the faith as a child, you'll not enter the kingdom. She did what God required. God used her hands, and LaVon checked her temperature. It was normal. We all went together. Doesn't take a fivefold ministry to lay hands on the sick. Well, that might be James, the elders, says that. But it also says, Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. Why? Because Brother Ram said, it's not your hands, it's God's hands. Not your eyes, God's eyes. Not your mouth, God's mouth. Make sure it's God's word coming out of it. Colossians 1:29. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Notice Paul's word striving. He says he's striving according to his working. And how many say that if you do such things, you're just a legalist? One brother said, well, all these places you're going, maybe, well, you know, if the Lord can at least touch one, you know, that'll be a good thing. And I thought, what a bunch of hypocrites. They think if they didn't sit under Brother Vail 20 years ago that they're not in it. They don't realize that these brothers have more fire for God than they've got. They've got more on the ball because they're giving more of themselves. They're going into the jungles. They're taking fever. Their bodies are being abused for the glory of God's sake. While we sit back with our Cadillacs and our, you know, our nice fluffy and stuffy situations. How can we? When we had an example through William Branham, who traveled almost 360 some days a year, about 300 out of 365 as far as I know. Gone all the time, his family suffered because of it. Joseph grew up without a daddy. Don't think he didn't resent it. That had to be hard on that young man. Growing up, because the people pulled on his daddy went. Because God told him to go. The family suffered so that you and I might be blessed. Brother Branham said, God's just looking for one person to get themselves out of their way, that God can use them. What about when he gets a whole church of people willing? Let go and let God. Lord, what can I do for my brothers and my sisters today? What can I do to be a blessing to someone who's not expecting it? What can I do, Father, to be a blessing to someone who's maybe down today? Maybe ill, maybe sick, maybe having a hard time. What can I do, Father, to step in and be your hands? To step in and be your lips? Use my eyes so that I can see. So that my lips might be your lips, my hands might be your hands, that you might perform your energy through this vessel. Paul said, whereunto I also labor, striving according to His working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul striving according to God's working. Now the word striving doesn't suggest to me that Paul was kind of relaxed and laid back. Paul worked. As Brother Branham loved to sing that song, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes, we'll work. Till Jesus comes and carry His people home. Striving, he says, striving according to His working. And how many, if you would do such, would call you a legalist? They say that you're off on a works campaign. No, I'm off doing what God wants me to do. He wants to borrow my body and use my body to manifest Himself in His sons. The message was not for William Branham alone to live and to proclaim. It's for all sons to reflect their father. He said that we that are foreordained, we that were in Him before the foundations of the world were foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I wasn't talking about we're all conformed to have a beard, wear sandals, and a tunic. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that the mind that was in Christ, the attitude which was in Christ, might be in us. Hallelujah. Oh, to see the church of the living God in action. Not just talking the word, living it, breathing it, desiring to do whatever God would have us to do. The Bible tells us that we are sons, but that we do not know what we are. And that's a very sad fact of the church today. They don't know who they really are, but when He shall appear, the Bible tells us we shall be like Him because we'll see Him as He truly is. And what do we see? Do we see Him with our eyes this hour? No, we saw William Branham. God standing before groups of men, showing Himself as ever He would. How did He do it? He used the body of William Branham. And when we saw that, we're to be like Him. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about all of us being prophets. I'm talking about all of us serving one another with love from our hearts. We are to be conformed to the image of our eldest brother, and he didn't just talk the word, he lived it to the fullest until the fullness of the Godhead reflected through him. Brother Branham so followed the pattern of Jesus, so entered into that pattern that people thought he was Christ. Does your life so reflect the reality of the living God in your life that people think you're Christ? That's my question to you. In Colossians 2 and verse 12, buried with Him in baptism. Now listen, there's no reason why they ought not to be able to look at you and say, that's Jesus Christ incarnate. Because if we're to come into the image of the firstborn Son, you're supposed to be just like Him. And I'm not talking works. There's a difference. There's a whole big difference between works and living that life. Because the attitude reflects when it's works. Stuffy, religious, got your nose up in the air, self-righteous. Or humility, being a servant. Humbleness of character, sweetness, kindness. Tenderly affectionate toward one another. Colossians 2 and 12 says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, the energies of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Yes, there are. Every place we go, there's somebody trying to say we're teaching two gods. Every place Jesus went, they said, well, he's making himself God because he says he's the Son of God. And if he says he's the Son of God, well, then he'd have to be a God. Therefore, he's preaching two gods. And Jesus said, no, no, you just don't understand. From testimony of a true witness, Brother Bram said, a sheep's not asked to bear wool. I'm not asking you to perform. I'm asking you to get out of the way that God might perform. He's not asked to manufacture some wool this year. If he's a sheep, he'll have wool because he's a sheep. He don't have to say, well, now I believe I'm a sheep, so I better hurry up around here. I got to get some wool for the master. He don't have to worry about that. As long as he's a sheep, he'll bear wool. He don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to manufacture no self-made pity. Now, I shouldn't do this. I know because I'm a Christian. Oh, brother, trying to save itself by itself? By its own human efforts, yet sincere? What's the matter? It's weak pulpits. Weak schools, weak seminaries. That's what's the matter. Teaching man's theology. You say today the strength of the Christian, are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Methodist. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Baptist. Now, that's the strength of Christianity. How different, hallelujah, how different from the first church age. They had none of these things to say, but they had been filled with an energy, a power of the Holy Spirit that had set them free from sin and death. They wasn't nominal. They had a love of God burning in their hearts that sent them to their death. Wow. They had a burning love for God that sent them to their death. Oh, I like that. It didn't send them to a bingo party. It didn't send them to a Sunday school picnics. It sent them to their death, and they were willing to go wherever the Holy Spirit said go. Are you willing to die for Him? Because if you're not willing to die for Him, you're sure not willing to live for Him. In Philemon 1 and verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Quit looking at the circumstances in your life. Quit looking at everything that's negative in your life. And start looking at the good things. Like I said, Sarah loves to make pies for the people in church and for the church gatherings. And you know why she does it so good? Because she enjoys doing it. Find the things that you enjoy doing and do them for one another. And you will be blessed. They say that about a job, you know. They say, find a job you enjoy doing. Then it won't seem like a job to you. From We Would See Jesus, Brother Bram said, oh, if this group tonight, oh, you people here from Concord, in this great capital of one of the most beautiful states in the Union, if you could have that enthusiasm about Christ. He didn't wait and say, I'm glad to see you, nothing about it. He said, come see who we found, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's enthusiasm. The church today has lost its enthusiasm. Why? Because it's gotten out of the vine. It's no more being energized by the Spirit, wells of water bubbling up into everlasting life. They've lost that zeal. Something's missing. God remains the same, Christ remains the same, but His church has disassociated itself with His connection, the vine, the Spirit. I believe if you are so in love with Him, you'd never have to have a lecture on proper Christian attitude and dress. when those people saw Jesus Christ manifested before them through the body of William Branham, those blanket natives covered themselves. They felt that holy presence. My wife, at 10 years old or 8 years old, going to those meetings in Jeffersonville, she said, the one thing I remember the most is that holy presence of God when that man walked in the door. There was an atmosphere he brought with him. You think it was because he sat around telling jokes? Talked about cars and TV shows and everything else? Or do you think it was because of those long hours of prayer? Getting William Branham out of the way. Yeah. You see, he made a sacrifice so that you could receive the very blessings of God. Christ remains the same, but his church has disassociated itself with his connection, the vine, the Spirit. And if that same thing isn't happening today, Jesus told us the parable of the 10 talents. He said if the first one got 1 talent, he buried it instead of investing it and bringing back greater. You see, that's the thing about God making us an echo, is that you can't help but say it over and over and over again. Not only the same words, but the same inflection, the same character, the same emphasis. What have we done if we've known and understood the doctrine for 20 to 30 years? What have we done with it? Who have we given it to? Who have we helped with it but ourselves? Have we buried it in the ground expecting that when the Lord shows up on the scene, when we're expecting when Brother Branham's going to come back, we can say, I believe your doctrine, Brother Branham. You think that's going to do you any good that time? When you've talked about your neighbor? When you haven't lifted a foot, haven't helped to bring someone into the kingdom? I'm not putting guilt on anybody. I'm just saying, what are we living for? A paycheck to paycheck? Good grief, that's going to go away. When Rome buys up all the paper, she's going to own your companies. You think you'll have a job? All's got to do is get that paper down to where it almost is nothing. And she comes in with her gold and can buy everything. She's not just buying the nation. She's buying all the paper, all the companies. And if you don't belong to her, you're not going to work. You're not going to have your job. You're not going to have your Social Security. That's the biggest falsehood that we have. Been pouring money into it. They haven't stored it aside. They're spending it on other things. You think they're good stewards? I don't think so. They'll have to give an account for it. But I wouldn't count on it being there. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, of the first bunch of people, he's the vine, John 15, and we are the branches. Now, the vine does not bear fruit. The branch bears fruit as it energized by the vine. And if the first bunch, a branch, out of that vine produced a church that wrote a book of Acts, the second branch will do the same thing. Every branch that comes out of that vine will be energized by the same life that's in the vine. And that's one worry Brother Vail has. I know, we talk a lot. We talk a lot about it. Why is not the miracles happening? And I said, Brother Vail, they are. I said, they are. They're happening every place I go. And they're happening with the brothers overseas. Tremendous miracles are happening. Because these people are on fire. They're infused with the energy of God. Why isn't it happening to those people who have sat under the doctrine for 20 to 30 years? Because they've lost their first love. There was times where you could sit up till 2 and 3 in the morning and talking the doctrine, talking what God was doing. They were exciting. There was excitement in the camp. The shout of the king was in the camp. Where's that same excitement? The only thing they can... I'm not saying this to be mean or anything, but the only thing they can stay up late to watch is videos. Play board games. Where is the shout of the king in the camp? Don't look at me that way. I'm speaking the truth in the name of the Lord. I'm serious. Either we're living for Christ or we're not living for Christ. Either we're playing games in churches of society where people come together and they all agree and they're all happy and they make a little bit of noise and they go home and they eat well and everything else while their brothers and sisters overseas are starving to death. And it angers me to see the lax attitude when I see my brothers and sisters without shoes on their feet. And I see 20 or 30 pairs of shoes sitting in somebody's closet. And you're going to be held accountable for every penny. That's what Jesus said. Every idle word you say, you'll be held accountable. And every penny, you'll be held accountable at the white throne. And I'm not saying it out of anger. I'm saying it out of shame. That we can't do more to help the people around the world. Brother Bell's doing everything he can. He's pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars into helping brothers and sisters around the world. I'm not saying that God measures our love by the amount of money, because look at the little woman that gave two mites. Jesus says she gave more than the rich men, because she gave everything she had. I should show you the bags of money that those poor people that couldn't afford shoes on their feet. And after the service was over, I was ashamed. They brought in a big old bag, you know, like a gallon-sized bag full of pesos and 10 pesos and 5 pesos and a few 20-peso bills and even a couple 50-peso bills. And I told the brother, I said, I can't accept that. I said, take the money back and feed the poor. Do something to help these people here. He said, but we have a policy here that whenever a minister comes to, he said, the offering goes to him. I said, well, okay, it's come to me. Now I'm giving it back to you. And then the night service come again and another big old bag of coin. And I did the same thing. I said, Pastor, I want you to have this. Help your people with it. How giving, and I mentioned to Mario, I said, well, maybe these bills are from some of the ministers. He said, oh, you don't. He said, I wouldn't think so. He said, that's coming from probably the poorest people. The largest bills, the largest money is probably coming from the poorest of the people. And I said, well, may God bless their heart. Just give it all back. God takes care of us. We pay our own bills. Just give it all back. He's the vine. We're the branches. And the vine doesn't bear its own fruit. The branch bears fruit as it is energized by the vine. And if the first branch out of that vine produced a church that wrote a book of Acts, the second branch will do the same thing. Every branch that comes out of that vine will be energized by the same life that's in the vine. Is the life of Jesus Christ living in us? Look, when I think about church and organization, and just a bunch of partying and a bunch of carrying on, socializing, and that's what people come together for, it makes me ill. That is not what church should be for. Church should be coming together around the Word to find out where am I according to the life that should be living and flowing through my veins. Where am I standing in my salvation? If the lights were all went tonight, if the Holy Spirit pulled out of the earth tonight, would I go? Or would I have to finish my Monopoly game? I'm serious about that. And I don't mind this tape going out. Because we are here tonight to worship God. Ending 2008 to begin 2009. What are we here for? What are we living for if we're not living for Him? And I don't care if I lose every so-called friend in the world. I've got thousands of friends overseas that feel the same way I do. And if they knew what was going on in some of the churches tonight, they'd be appalled. Simply appalled. as I am. And let me say this, if your life is not reflecting the Word of God as the first church did, then you haven't got what they got. I don't care what theology you have. I don't care if he's... Look, he's not coming for those who have the right theology anyway. You might nod your head and say, Lord bless you, just like Brother Branham. You may be able to quote everything Brother Vail ever said. He's not coming for those that can quote everything Brother Vail taught or said. He's not coming for those who can quote what William Branham said. He's coming for those who can live what he showed us to live. He's coming for those who are reflecting his word for the hour in which they live. Noah built the ark. People made fun of him. But he went about building the ark anyway because that was his revelation for salvation for his hour. What's our revelation for salvation in this hour? Apply the token. And the token is Christ. He's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. A man, his words will fail. You're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. So I call the church to repentance. I call the church to acknowledge the day in which they're living. I ask the church, where is your first love? Alpha does repeat in Omega, and so do the bad things of Alpha. In the first church, they lost their first love. They got careless. They got laxed. Drifted, the Bible tells us. Church Age book tells us. Hebrews 4 and 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and energizes and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And God is thinking. Look, God knows what you're thinking right now. And if you think I'm up here just barking because I have a smaller church than some other churches do, let me tell you something. I don't care if one of you stays. I honestly don't. I'm not in this to make a big church. I've got places I can go. I could be gone 365 days a year and serving my God just as well. But I do care about your soul. I do care about you making a rapture. I do care about you reflecting the son and daughter of God that you were ordained to be. That I do care about. From Pergamian Church Age, Brother Brown said, the seed word is energized by the Spirit. Now let me repeat that. The seed word is energized by God's Spirit, by His presence, by His life, energizing in you His word for this season. Because if it doesn't, you don't have it. You might quote it, but he's not coming for a bunch of people who can quote it. He's coming for those who are reflecting and manifesting what he said would be here for the word, what the word of God would be for this hour. People living it, manifesting it. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he says you have to know it by the Spirit. Flesh cannot do those things. What is it? The vine, the branches, the same life that was in the vine comes through his branches. He feeds the branches through his vine. That's how he declares himself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. For he said, I'm the vine, the Holy Spirit now. Christ in spirit form in you, energizing you with his spirit to believe God. And he's everything that he does. He manifests himself just like he did in the Bible times. The works that I do shall you do also a little while. The world seeth me no more. Now how many knows he said that? That's the unbeliever. Yet ye shall see me, the believer, for I, personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The works that I do shall you do also. Matthew 14 and 2. And he said unto his servants, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Mighty works showing forth. Mark 6:14, and King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad. And he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. They thought Jesus was John the Baptist, risen from the dead. And therefore the mighty works were showing forth themselves in him, energized in him. But it wasn't John the Baptist. It was the firstborn Son of God. And let me say something. John the Baptist's little church was only 6 members. Anna, Simeon, Zechariah, Mary, Elizabeth, and there's one more I can't remember. 6 people filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You think that's a different Holy Spirit than what came on the day of Pentecost? You think God's got 2 Holy Spirits? One before the day of Pentecost, one after the day of Pentecost? They were filled with the Spirit. They were quickened to the Word for the day. And they lived it in expectation. And the old blind man, he said, now, he says, Simeon, I believe it was. Now, he says, I've seen my Savior. Now, he said, I can die in peace. I've waited all these years. Brother Bosworth said, I've waited 40 years for the life of Jesus Christ to be reincarnated in His church again, and I see it with my very eyes. And he was looking at Brother Branham up on that platform. And he spoke those words to Brother Vail. From faith cometh from hearing. Brother Branham said, it isn't a show. It's the Holy Spirit preaching the gospel, confirming His word that has been preached before. See? The word that was preached before, the Holy Spirit hears, He's here confirming that to be the truth. Now, what could I do? What can I say? I say this, my friend, to every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that every person in here was healed when Jesus died at Calvary. It's your possession. I ask you to raise your hands. Who was Christians? Your hands went up everywhere. You have a legal right to everything that Jesus died for. He died His death there at the cross and gave His life that you might have the legal rights to every redemptive blessing that He died for. It's yours. You're just afraid to possess it, but you're afraid to claim it. But it's still yours. God gives you a gift. Use it. Don't be ashamed. Use it. Be thankful that He gave it to you. From Romans 7 and verse 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work, energized in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Like the old man said, Indian, there's 2 dogs warring within me, a black dog and a white dog. He said, who's winning, chief? He said, the one I'm feeding the most. Who are you feeding tonight? 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 The white dog or the black dog? The Holy Spirit to energize you to do the works of God or the devil to make you do the works of the devil? Romans 7 and 5, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin were which by the law did work in our members, did energize in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So the devil can take your members over too. 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Who's doing it? God's doing it. 1 Corinthians 12:6, and there are diversities of operations, that's energies, but it is the same God which worketh or energizes all in all. That chandelier's a little brighter than that light, a little brighter than those lights over there, but it's the same energy working. You see? But that's a different operation. That's got a little bit different. That's different. This one's different. Computer's different. Same energy. To every man is given a measure of faith. What measure of faith do you have? You say, well, you know, I haven't been given much measure of faith. Just about the size of mustard seed. Jesus said, if you have just the faith the size of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart. It'll move. Paul said, if I have all faith to move mountains, it doesn't matter if you have all faith or if you have the faith the size of mustard seed. I don't care how much faith you've got. It's not how much you have. It's not what measure's been given you. What are you doing with what measure you got? Listen, there's been a lot of young men that were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Their daddies were very rich and they gave them millions and those boys blow it all and end up in poverty. Then there's men like Sam Walton who had an 8th grade education. poor of the poor. But he worked and he sowed and he sowed and he sowed and he reaped and he reaped and he reaped and he reaped. Until he became the wealthiest man in America, he still lived in the same old little rundown house that he had before he made all his money. But now look at his kids and his grandkids blowing it. He wouldn't put something made in China in his shops, but look what his grandkids are doing. They've sold out. Second Corinthians 1:6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. Are you using your energy to make all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord? Is your energy directed toward helping others? 2 Corinthians 4:12. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. You see, death can even work. Death can even energize or unenergize in you. But Christ in us. Paul said, hey, to die is gain. But to live is Christ Jesus. So whether I die or whether I live, my body is God's to do with whatever he wants to do. Brother Brown said, I love him so much that if he wanted to send me to hell, I'd be happy to go there just to please him. Do you have that kind of an attitude? Or is that just kind of maybe a little bit too far? From the message, why, Brother Brown said, doubt, don't doubt. Don't have a doubt now. If you doubt one bit that you're not going to receive what you come for, it won't do you a bit of good. See? You've got to come believing. But right now, in the presence of God, in the presence of the Holy Ghost that's here to confirm the word, come because that you know that he's here and you know that he will give you the desire of your heart. That's what he's here for, to give to you is the desire of your heart. Will you come? That's good. Oh, God, if you would just give us the desire of our heart, the true desire of our heart. And that's to be sons and daughters reflecting his character, pleasing to him. And that's my desire for you tonight and me. From the token, Brother Bram said, he himself is the word. He's here to confirm everything that he said. He's here to confirm every promise that he made. If the people could just only see it once, Lord, that it isn't something that we could guess about. It's something we must know, Lord. Do you believe his word? 800 divine promises of God for you in the word. Do you believe it? That it was given for you? Yeah. Me? Absolutely. He died. He went to Calvary so I could receive inheritance. Yeah. Me, personally. I believe that. Galatians 2:8. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. The same God, the same electricity that worked in Peter is the same electricity that worked in Paul. The same energy that worked in Peter worked in Paul. The same energy worked in William Branham is supposed to work in you. Because he said, I'm his lips and you're his lips. I'm his hands, you're his hands. But see, Brother Branham's not here. So God's lips and his hands are here in this church tonight. They're here across the world in different places. If you would just receive that you are God's hands and his lips, his eyes, then your eyes are going out there to find. As Brother Vail said the other night, he said, you know, I imagine when Jesus raised from the dead, when John said there was no ink that could write all the books, could write books that could fill up all the world. He said, there's not enough ink. The ocean doesn't have enough ink to write all the pages of all the things that he did in his resurrection ministry. Brother Vail said, I could imagine him. He went through the streets. A person was blind. He went by the person, touched them. 10 minutes later, their eyes opened up. You see, he did it not to be known at that time. Can we perform the same? Can God perform through us the same? That our motive is not to be known. Our motive is to be used. He said, I can imagine he touched this one here, made that person whole. Touched this one here, made that person whole. All over the city. But wait, you know, maybe 10 seconds later, maybe 10 minutes later, after he touched them, their eyes came open. Their lameness went away. Can we be of such a nature as to be living constantly, looking for an opportunity to serve? Just show me, Lord. Brother Ram got off the airplane. The Holy Spirit said, start walking down the street. Yes, Lord. I'll walk down the street. He wasn't worried about making his plane. He was only focused on what God wanted him to do. The Holy Spirit said, take a left. Walk down that street. Took a left, walk down that street. He said, take a right now down the street. Took a right down the street. Saw a woman standing there by the wayside. Standing by the fence. He walked up and she said, hello, Elijah. Hello, Parson. She said, I've been praying here all night. I've been waiting for Elijah to come and touch my boy. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Brother Brian went in, laid hands on that boy. That boy received his health back. Brother Brian went back to the plane after, 2 hours? And the plane had been grounded. He didn't know it. Something happened. They couldn't leave. The plane waited for him. He said a year or two later, he was coming through on a train. And the porter that was getting his stuff was that young man that he prayed for. And he was living for Jesus Christ. We don't know what kind of reflection or what kind of results comes from our testimony. And our testimony isn't always good. But may it be good. Like Brother Nick said, I know my actions aren't always perfect, but he said, I want them to be. I desire for them to be. May I be a service, Lord. May I give you my heart and help my unbelief, Paul said. All right, so Galatians 3 and 5, he therefore that ministered to you by the Spirit and energizes miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does the energy come because of what you do or does it simply operate through you? See, if the electricity wasn't hooked up to these beautiful chandeliers, no matter how beautiful they are, they wouldn't shine. They got to be plugged in. You're the branches. He's the vine. You got to be plugged in to draw the life from him. Galatians 5 and 6, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Oh, there it is again. Love, the great expression of the revelation, the great manifestation of the revelation. And from that time, Brother Branson, the main thing that we try to do is to let these people see that Christ is not dead, that he's alive. And if we can just see the one who made us all these grand promises is here to confirm these promises. Oh boy. We talk about his presence, but do we believe it? We talk about his presence, how the judge is here, and yet we pull deals. Shows you don't believe it. From the Queen of Sheba, Brother Ram said, God is here to confirm exactly what he promised. From Ephesians 1, he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh or energizes all things after the counsel of his own will. Why do you think you're here tonight? Hearing this message instead of out partying someplace. Because he ordained you to be here. He ordained you to get plugged in. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ, he energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the devil's energizing too. Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, that energizes us. And from the spoken words of the original seed, Brother Rath said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See, John 5:19. So will the bride. There you are. There's your promise. Are you going to reach out and receive it tonight? So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her. And she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her. Not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word, and she does it in his name. She has, thus saith the Lord, then it is germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they shut their mouth. They keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day all things. When he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not yet time. So he wants you to fulfill it. He wants you to reflect him. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you. I like that. It's God that energizes in you both to will. You see, Brother Branham kind of had a little problem. His will was a little lax. And he listened to his mother-in-law and he didn't do what God wanted him to do. So God fixed his will so that he was willing to do it God's way. For it is God which worketh in you, which energizes in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. My prayer, and I pray this for my girls all the time, and I pray for some of you in here too. My prayer is that God will do whatever it takes. And hopefully it won't be a physical beating up like Brother Branham got. But that he will so work in your heart. Make you soft and supple. Make you weep before God until you get right with God in the areas you're not right. Until you get ready to meet him in all areas of concern. May God so mold and shape. May your heart be so pliable that you just, for no reason, begin to weep in his presence. That is my prayer. For it is God which energizes in you to will. That's what I want in my girls, my wife. That God is energizing your will to his will and to do his good pleasure. And Colossians 1:29, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Striving according to his working. Paul labored, but his labor was a labor of love. Brother Vail said, I don't have love, Brother Brown. Brother Brown said, oh, yes, you do, Brother Vail. He said, maybe you just don't understand. He said, do you do things for the Lord that you wouldn't do otherwise? He said, all the time. He said, that's the highest form of love. And I ask you the same question. Do you do for God? And how are you going to do for God? You're going to do it for his children. Whatsoever you have done unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what he said. Do we do it? And if we do, then your labor is a labor of love. From proving his word, he said he proves all of his word, all of his words. Just think of it. All of his words. And you were his word. He was the word and you were part of his word. And that's the reason you're sent here, to confirm your place in life. Hallelujah. You were sent here to confirm your place in life. I don't think you got that, see? He is the Word. Now you get it? He was in the feet in Luther, in the thighs in Wesley, in the shoulders in Pentecost. See what I mean? He is in the head. You have a part that joins that together. This hour that we're living now, not the feet part, not the thigh part, not the shoulder part, but the neck. Is that right? It joins to the head. That's the part of the body. Those that are asleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. The trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that right? See? You become a part of that Word. You become a part of Him, and you take His name to recognize it. See? You're placed in there, baptized into His name, into His body. By one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. Into here, just exactly the same position. He never changes. He never changes His way. How many believes the early church is in Him? Let's see how many believes it. How were they baptized? All right, see, He's unchangeable God. He proved it. He proved that. We could stay here till midnight tonight proving that and still go on and on. See, unchangeable. See, you are in Him and a part of Him because you were a part of His thinking of the thinking of Him before the foundation of the world. He called you. Now, see, we got a problem, though, in this day. Because Brother Branham is telling us we are the neck. He's the head. And yet we got this common saying among women today, I'm the neck that turns the head. Listen, if you're the neck that turns the head, you're out of place. You're out of place. He's the head and He's the preeminent one. And we should surrender our neck. And listen, the voice comes out of the neck. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we should surrender all to the mind. That the mind that was in Christ be in you. I don't care if you've got reason to sass back. You don't have scripturally a reason to sass back. You might have a right as an American citizen to do it, but you got to forfeit your rights. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh or energizes also in you that believe. Is it? That's my question. Is it? Is it effectually energizing in us? Or are we good, just good Christian people going to church? That don't get you to heaven. I'm sorry. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He said He is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, and He's only here to confirm what He's already promised. He's here making His word manifest. Now, we have a promise for this day. Jesus had a promise for His day. His promise was that He would be the fulfillment of the Lamb slain. As the firstborn son, He gave His life so that we could have inheritance. The same time, before the foundations of the world, that God foreordained Him to that role, He ordained you to adoption of sons. When He ordained Noah to build the ark, Noah came on the earth, He built the ark. When He ordained Moses to take the people out of Egypt, God raised up Noah. Moses, what did He do? He took the people out. Well, He has ordained a people to be predestinated unto the adoption of children. That's your role. Obedient sons and daughters of God. This is the hour to manifest the Father's will. This is the hour to manifest the Father's actions, the Father's speech, the Father's doctrine. Are we obedient sons? Can we fall under that pattern? Do we hear, recognize, and then act upon the Word of God? That's what Brother Brandon preached the sermon. Hearing, recognizing, acting upon the Word of God. That's what he said we got to do. Not from a work standpoint, from a heart standpoint. Crucifying the flesh. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity it already energizes in people. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Look, the devil's here working. He's energizing. And God's here energizing as well. From God's only provided place of worship, in closing, Brother Brown said, now there's all kinds of ministries. God in this last days, I believe He has given us everything that He's got in His book. Everything that's promised, we've seen it. And still it seems like people just can't grasp it. Those who are ordained to grasp it will grasp it. Only those. It blinds one, opens the eyes of another. Remember, we believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not dead, but he's alive, and he's here tonight. We are in his presence tonight, and he's here to confirm and make good any promise that he made for this day, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And listen, brother, sister, God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for one, he's got to do it for another. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the other that you may be healed. For the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a rightly wise man, availeth much. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask, Father, that if we could just somehow absorb what was said tonight, may we go over it and over it and over it until it plants down, right down into our soul, until we become just living, manifested sons and daughters of God, manifesting obedience to thy word in Jesus Christ's name. And may we have the attitude that was in Christ. May that attitude be in us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We saw the attitude in William Branham. We've seen the attitude in other sons of God. May that attitude reflect in us is my prayer. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee.